So, how many of you like to shop at Cabela's? It's absolutely my favorite place to shop, bar none. I guess in saying that, I should give some sort of disclaimer that the preceding view is the opinion of Terry Fuller and does not reflect any sort of position by Togiak Refuge or KDLG. I've been a big fan of Cabela's for well over 3 decades, and I can actually remember when there was only one store, the one in Kearney, Nebraska. I was living in Alaska in the 1990s when the second store, the one in Sydney, Nebraska, opened up. During a trip back to Kansas to visit family one summer, I took a trip with my dad to check it out. We were not disappointed. I don't know if it's changed much, but at the time the Sydney store was on the outskirts of the southern part of town. On the ride to the store, we passed by a city park. As we went over a bridge next to the park, we had to slow to a stop. In front of us, by the bridge, was a duck crossing sign. As if on cue, a hen duck stepped onto the road and led a troop of ducklings across it, followed by a drake. Those particular ducks were a very recognizable species. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I'll bet that just by letting on that those ducks were very recognizable, a lot of you were able to guess what type of ducks they were without the bother of me naming them. If you said mallards, well, you're spot on. When I do presentations to area schools about migratory birds, they're one bird that's identified by students down to the very lowest grades. Thing is, the same would likely be true in just about any classroom anywhere in the United States. A part of that recognizability is likely tied to the mallard's unique look, at least for the drake. In the off chance any of you listening today have either just emerged from life under a rock or you're coming from an extreme urban upbringing, I'll go ahead and take a moment to talk about that look. Mallard ducks are classified as dabbling ducks, and they are large dabbling ducks. We'll talk more about dabbling in a moment. They're about 2 feet or a little more in length with a wingspan of 3 feet, give or take just a bit. They weigh in at between 2 and 2.5 pounds. Males sporting their breeding colors are absolutely unmistakable, with a bright green head that shimmers with a glossy iridescence. The bill is yellowish in color. The chest is a deep chestnut brown, and there's a narrow white band that separates the brown of the chest and the green of the head. The tops of the wings and back are a grayish brown, while the underparts and belly are light gray. The rump and under the tail is black, with a white area just in front along the flanks. The tail is white on outside with black feathers down the middle. The central tail feathers curl back up in a circular fashion towards the back. The feet can appear reddish to bright orange in color. What I've described so far might sound like enough to set apart a mallard in appearance, but they have one other physical trait that's easily seen. The tops of the wings, close to the body, sport bright iridescent blue rectangles that are bordered top and bottom with black and white stripes. These wing patches are found on both the male and the female. Speaking of the female, hen mallards are a mottled brown in color, like many other types of female dabbling ducks. More specifically, they are brownish all over with mottled streakings of buff, white, and dark brown. The face is noticeably paler than the body. A dark line runs through the eye. There is also a dark streak across the crown. The belly is a pale tan in color, and the tail has white in it. The bill is orange or yellow and often looks splotched with darker colors. The legs are reddish-orange. Another reason mallards are so easily identified by kids, and adults, is their incredibly widespread distribution. With the exception of extreme northeastern Canada, they are found across all of North America, down through Central America, and into the Caribbean region. They are also found on the Hawaiian Islands and across a broad middle portion of Eurasia, from northern African countries in the west, Scandinavian countries to the north, and to Siberia, Japan, and China in the east, as well as everything in between. They can also be found in many places across Australia and New Zealand. As you might guess in being so widely distributed, mallards feel at home across a wide range of habitat and climates, from Arctic tundra to subtropical regions. Mallards are found around both fresh and saltwater wetlands and are at home on small ponds, rivers, lakes, and estuaries, as well as the open ocean as long as they're within eyeshot of the coastline. And they're found from the wildest parts of this state we call home to parks found in some of our country's largest cities, as well as smaller communities like Sydney, Nebraska. Mallards pair up long before breeding season actually rolls around, usually coming together in October or November. The drake hangs around until the hen lays her eggs, normally sometime in either March or April. After that, the hen is on her own, and she alone assumes responsibility for the incubation of the eggs and for taking care of the ducklings after they hatch. The nest site is selected based on how well concealed it is, or how inaccessible it would be to potential predators. Believe it or not, in urban settings, this can include such places as roof gardens, enclosed courtyards, and flower boxes. The nest itself is a depression scraped in the ground that's lined with vegetation and down feathers from the hen. The eggs are cream to greenish-buff in color, and the clutch size can run from a few to over a dozen. The eggs are incubated for about a month, give or take a few days. Fledging takes place another 2 months after that. The ducklings are ready to roll from the get-go, as they are able to swim immediately after hatching. Even so, they stay extremely close to the mother for protection, as well as to learn about the world around them and where to forage for food. They stay with the hen until the next breeding season rolls around. I mentioned earlier that mallards are dabblers, and now seems like a good time to talk a bit more about that. Ducks as a whole fall into a couple of categories, based on how they feed: dabblers and divers. Dabbling ducks, also referred to as puddle ducks, prefer to hang out in shallow water areas such as flooded fields and marshes. When I say shallow, think of waters less than a few feet deep. Dabblers feed by tipping up rather than diving. I think probably most of us have seen this, whether firsthand or possibly on television. One moment you're looking at a swimming duck, and the next you're looking at a duck's butt in the air. Dabblers have smaller feet, and their legs are situated farther forward on their body than divers. When taking flight, dabblers simply spring into the air instead of needing a running start across the surface. Divers, on the other hand, are ducks that propel themselves underwater to get at food. They have larger feet attached to short legs that are situated farther back on their bodies. It's not a completely exclusive thing, by the way, as dabblers sometimes dive, especially to evade danger, and divers will also sometimes dabble. That said, mallards are classified as dabblers. With regards to what they dabble for, mallards feed on insects and their larvae, aquatic invertebrates, seeds, aquatic vegetation, and different types of grain. If you've ever fed mallards in a city park setting, you know that they also get pretty jazzed up over pieces of bread. So common is the mallard that it's the ancestor of almost all domestic duck breeds. Many of the domestic breeds look like their wild predecessors, but the domesticated versions are, predictably, usually larger in size. A good steady meal will do that for you. Colors can really vary with domestic ducks, and they'll often lack some of the exact markings of wild mallards. Mallard ducks are the most common duck across North America. One website I was reading estimated the population as well in excess of 10 million birds. As such, it's probably no surprise that the ducks that crossed that road in Sydney nearly two decades ago were mallards. The odds were certainly in favor of that being the case. And while mallards may be common in number, there's certainly nothing common about how they look. Between those high numbers and pretty colors, it's a pretty good bet that they'll hold on to the title of our most recognizable duck for the foreseeable future. In closing, I'll leave you with the following. A mallard walks into a pharmacy and asks for a stick of lip balm. The cashier asks the mallard, "Will that be cash, check, or credit card?" The mallard responds, "Just put it on my bill." For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.